Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. Starting with the commercial news, the front page stories, we have Vermilion County Board to vote on new solar facilities. And this story is by Kayla White. Two solar energy companies are petitioning the Vermilion County Board for permission to open new facilities in the county. Vermilion Solar 3, LLC, for a 28-acre facility in Grant Township, east of Hoopston, and Pivot Energy Illinois 6, LLC, for an 18-acre facility just south of Catlin on Catlin-Indianola Road. The vote comes after the Vermilion County Wind and Solar Committee held public hearings for both companies last autumn. After presenting their cases, applicants were examined by the committee and members of the public. Following that hearing, the committee provided a set of recommended conditions for approval. Both companies submitted evidence of compliance or future plans for compliance. Those conditions include providing an emergency plan, a decommissioning plan for what would happen in the event the solar plant was removed, as well as an extensive vegetation management plan that requires the applicants to install a pollinator-friendly habitat, as well as a plant buffer zone of evergreen trees. Currently, both sites are being used for agriculture. Two other companies whose applications have previously been approved by the county board will be submitting their vegetation management plans for approval. CVE Ridge Farm and Nexamp Ridge Farm Commercial Solar Energy Facilities. Nexamp will also be submitting their road use agreement, another step in the long process which must be completed before construction may begin. Both Vermilion Solar 3 and Pivot Energy will have until December 31st of 2026 to begin construction if their application is approved, according to Vermilion County Board Chairman Steve Miller. We've been working closely with Andrew Kite, our counsel with the state's attorney's office, and he's been guiding us as we move along in this process, Miller said. Should the facilities be approved, property owners would receive compensation for allowing the companies to use their land, locals could see lowered electric rates, and local schools and other state facilities could benefit from tax revenues generated by the companies, according to Miller. On the other hand, Miller said, there are also possible downsides, including glare to neighboring residents, as well as impacts on agriculture, something Miller hopes will be mitigated by the company's attempts to stick to the agricultural mitigation agreements they are required to enter into with the county. But the biggest issue is the list of unknowns when it comes to possible downsides of allowing such facilities to open in the county. We just don't know what all of the disadvantages might be, Miller said. This is an industry that, in the Midwest at least, is still in its infancy. We have not seen the end result of other projects that have run the course of 20 years. The Vermilion County Board will vote on whether to approve the applications at their first meeting of the new year tonight at 6 p.m. in the Vermilion County Administration Building. Next up, we have another story by Kayla White. This one is titled, An Awesome Long Life, Margaret Jameson Celebrating 100th Birthday. When Margaret Wright was born in Royal, Illinois on January 15, 1925, the fourth of five children, no one could have guessed how much beauty she would bring to the world. Margaret and her siblings grew up in a hard-working family of farmers just outside of Ogden. All five Wright children completed and graduated from high school, something not all rural children were able to do at that time. With one brother, who became a farmer himself, and another who worked at the University of Illinois. Margaret and her sisters, Nora and Kay, all attended beauty school and became hairdressers, something Margaret would continue doing from home up until she was diagnosed with dementia last year. "My mom still thinks she knows how to do hair better than anybody else," said Margaret's daughter, Susan Packett, laughing. When World War II ended, Margaret met the man who would become her husband when her brother-in-law introduced her to his friend, Speed. Margaret Wright and Francis Speed Jameson wed in 1948 and started their family not long after. "We grew up in a very loving home," Susan said of she and her sister, Patricia Chambliss. "They share fond memories of family vacations and lots of time with their large extended family." In her free time, Margaret enjoyed playing golf and card games like euchre and bridge. But her favorite pastime was taking care of her home, both inside and out. She would spend hours baking, planting flowers, and making candy, especially for Christmas, her daughter said. That's what she enjoyed most, was her family and her home and taking care of that. "She mowed the grass until we took the mower away," Susan said. Margaret was also very active at her church throughout the years, Catlin United Methodist, teaching Sunday school and summer Bible school. She enjoyed watching her 4 grandchildren and later her 10 great-grandchildren. Though Speed passed in 1995, their frugal lifestyle ensured Margaret never had to worry about finances or change her lifestyle. Still, she continued working in her home beauty salon up until she couldn't anymore. Until she went into Hollybrook, she was still at home working, and that's the thing she misses most, working from home and caring for her home, Susan said. Last year, Susan and their family began to notice that Margaret was forgetting to turn off the stove or leaving the water running, and sometimes she would forget who Susan was. That's when she was diagnosed with dementia, and the family made the decision to place her in the Villas of Hollybrook, an assisted living facility in Danville that specializes in caring for residents with dementia. Margaret's sister, Nora, 98, also lives at Hollybrook, so the two spend lots of time together, and Susan and her sister, their children and grandchildren, visit nearly every day. She also enjoys lunch and dinner with her lifelong friend, Betty Montgomery. "She's lived an awesome long life," Susan said of Margaret. Hollybrook will host a birthday party for Margaret at noon on Wednesday, while Susan and family plan to have their own party for her later that night with one very special treat. "We're going to have Monica's pizza. She likes that. And we're going to have a birthday cake and just celebrate her, basically," Susan said. And we have another story by Kayla White. This one is short. It's titled Annex Building Brise Demolition Budget Headed to County Board. The city of Danville has awarded a bid for the demolition of Brise Tower and the old county annex building to Homrick Wrecking. The abandoned tower may be one step closer to coming down after tonight's Vermilion County Board meeting. The Vermilion County Board will vote today on whether to approve the addition of $880,000 of their share of the demolition budget. Should the board vote to approve the new budget, it would bring the demolition total to $8.4 million. Though the county is financially responsible for contributing to the demolition fund, per the intergovernmental agreement between the county and the city of Danville, the day-to-day tasks involved in bringing it down fall to the city, according to Board Chairman Steve Miller. "The next steps toward demolition would be up to the city," Miller said, a process Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. previously estimated would be complete by the end of the summer. And our final front page story today is a staff report titled Apple Wallet Could Hold Digital IDs for Illinois Residents by Year End. The Illinois Secretary of State's office is working to bring IDs in Apple Wallet to Illinois residents in the future, with the goal of launching by the end of the year, Secretary Alexi Janulius announced on Monday. This capability will enable residents to seamlessly and securely add and present their driver's licenses and state IDs in person and in apps using their iPhone or Apple Watch. The news follows legislation that took effect at the beginning of the year, which enabled the Secretary of State's office to begin the work. The plan includes robust testing requirements to ensure the office delivers the most secure and private product for Illinois residents, Janulius said. We're excited to have kick-started our work with Apple, a company that shares our commitment to data security, to provide IDs in Apple Wallet that will offer convenience and privacy for Illinoisans, said Janulius, whose office pushed for the legislation enabling the development of mobile driver's licenses and state IDs in Illinois. This is the first component of a multifaceted approach to deliver a state-of-the-art mobile driver's license and state ID program that leverages best-in-class technology for residents. Once the program launches, driver's licenses and state IDs in Wallet will provide an easy and more secure way for Illinoisans to present their identification. Users will have the ability to add their driver's license or state ID to Wallet and simply tap their iPhone or Apple Watch to present it in person without taking out their physical card or handing over their device. The office has set up a sign-up page for Illinoisans to receive updates about the mobile driver's license and state ID program and when IDs in Apple Wallet will become available for users. Mobile driver's licenses and state IDs will not be mandatory and will serve as a companion rather than a replacement to a physical card. Presenting an ID in Apple Wallet will allow for more security and privacy than presenting a physical card. Using Apple Wallet, only the information needed for the transaction is presented, and the user has the opportunity to review and authorize the information being requested with Face ID or Touch ID before it is shared. This means that a mobile driver's license or ID holder can provide proof of their age when legally purchasing alcohol or renting a car without sharing other personal information, like their address. Illinois joins 10 states and territories that have adopted IDs in Apple Wallet, including Arizona, Colorado, California, Georgia, Hawaii, Iowa, Maryland, New Mexico, Ohio, and Puerto Rico. Janulius also expects to bring mobile driver's licenses and IDs to additional digital wallets, such as Google Wallet for Android users in the future. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. The first today is for Louise Trussler. Louise Trussler, 94, of Danville, Illinois, passed away on December 31st, 2024, at Accolade Healthcare of Danville, Illinois. A private family burial will take place in the spring. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville is assisting the family with arrangements. Sharon George. Sharon K. George, 78, of Champaign, died at 7:02 a.m. Sunday, January 12th at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Robert Uden. Robert or Bob Dale Uden, 77, of Hoopston, passed away at 4:40 a.m. on Sunday, January 5th, 2025, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. According to his wishes, cremation rites will be arranged and a celebration of his life will be held at a later date. The family has entrusted Blurton Funeral Home of Hoopston to assist them in honoring Bob's life. And that's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. We're going to turn now to a story from the News Gazette titled Music Man. Danville's Dupree still hitting right notes. And this is by Dave Hinton. Brett Dupree was a musical child prodigy of sorts, but it depends on whom you talk to. Dupree doesn't think so, but his cousin and former Danville City Council member Brenda Brown disagrees. She saw the three-year-old banging on his aunt's keyboard and singing the gospel song, Oh Happy Day. She remembers her aunt saying he was going to be involved in music when he got older. By about 10, according to Brown, Dupree was playing music by ear. He's just a gifted individual, Brown said. Dupree comes by it naturally, Brown said. Dupree's father, Lucian, played piano, but was better known for his voice, singing at the Red Mask Theater in Danville and the Danville Light Opera. Dupree said he was no prodigy. I didn't start playing until I was like 16 or 17, he said. But Brown said he just doesn't remember. Whatever the case, the 58-year-old Dupree's musical ability is well known in Danville, and he has been performing for several decades. Sandra Finch, program chair for the Martin Luther King Celebration Committee in Danville, called Dupree very humble, very dedicated. When I think about the King celebration, you have to think about Mr. Dupree, because the mass choir by itself drew many people to the celebration. But that was before the COVID-19 pandemic. Dupree was music director for the mass choir, which is now an ensemble. For his more than 25 years of service as the MLK music director and more than 40 years of service to the community, Dupree will be honored by the MLK committee at its annual service set for January 20th at St. James United Methodist Church. Dupree serves as music director for both the Carter Metropolitan CME Church and Second Baptist Church in Danville. Both are traditionally black churches. On Sundays, after leading the 10 a.m. music at Second Baptist, he heads to Carter Metropolitan for its 11:30 a.m. service. Dupree said he leads both church choirs practice each week, but sometimes on a whim throws in a song they haven't practiced that week. Choir members don't give him any odd looks, he said. They go with the flow and sing the song because they know it. Over the years, he has served as music director for a number of churches in the community. In his early days, Dupree said he began taking music lessons, but his piano teacher told me it wasn't doing any good because I wasn't reading the notes like I should. Instead, Dupree would watch her play the song once and then play it back by ear. There were some times I would just watch her fingering what she did, he remembers. You gradually learn the keys, you learn the chord structure, and I started and went on with that. Not that much, is how Dupree responded when asked if he could read music yet. Dupree started with gospel music and still loves it. When he gets home from work, he is the lead in the electronics department at Walmart and wants to listen to music. He doesn't turn to classic rock, country, or any other form. It's always gospel. Dupree said he became a Christian when he was a teenager. The songs he prefers are traditional gospel tunes and modern hymns. He attended Danville Area Community College for a couple of years in general studies. It's music, though, that he's drawn to. Actually, it's really a gift, Dupree said. It's what I love to do. Dupree said he feels it's important to use the gift God gave him to play and direct music. Music, he said, has not only been inspirational, it has also helped him through some difficult times, but he didn't elaborate. His other interests? Really, that's all I like to do is music. I have no other hobbies, really. He counts as some of his favorite singers Milton Brunson, Hezekiah Walker, and Walter Hawkins. Dupree and his wife, Carolyn, met, appropriately, at church. Carolyn is retired from the school district. They have two children, Isaiah and Destiny. And now we're going to return to the commercial news for some other local and state stories. The next one is from the Illinois State Water Survey at the University of Illinois, and it's titled, Mild Wet Start to Winter. Day-to-day temperature variability in Illinois is highest in climatological winter and December, followed suit with regular dips and jumps in daily temperature, according to Illinois State climatologist Trent Ford at the University of Illinois State Water Survey. Daily average temperatures were 10 to 20 degrees below normal the first week of December, 15 to 25 degrees above normal in the final week of the month, and jumped around in between. December average temperatures ranged from the high 20s in northern Illinois to the low 40s in southern Illinois, between 1 and 5 degrees above normal. The warmest place in the state last month was Olmsted in Pulaski County, with an average December temperature of 41.4 degrees. The coolest place in the state was Stockton in Joe Davis County, with an average December temperature of 26.6 degrees. The milder days last month broke three daily high maximum temperature records and 54 daily high minimum temperature records. Meanwhile, the cooler days in December broke 23 daily low maximum temperature records and 6 daily low minimum temperature records in Illinois. Overall, the preliminary statewide average December temperature was 33.4 degrees, or 1.8 degrees below the 1991 to 2020 average, and tied for 36th warmest on record, going back to 1895. The preliminary statewide average total December precipitation was 2.9 inches, 0.47 inches above the 91 to 2020 average, and tied for 31st wettest on record statewide. December wasn't a washout anywhere, but brought enough precipitation to continue improving water conditions from peak fall drought. December total precipitation ranged from over 6 inches in far southern Illinois to around 1.5 inches in northern Illinois. Most areas of the state south of Interstate 64 were 1 to 3 inches wetter than normal last month, while parts of northern Illinois were around 1 inch drier than normal. The wettest part of the state was, again, Olmsted in Pulaski County, which picked up just over 10 inches in the final month of the year. The driest place in the state in December was Freeport, with only 0.89 inches for the month. As is often the case in milder Decembers, snowfall was a little harder to come by across Illinois. December total snowfall ranged from around 5 inches in far northern Illinois to less than a tenth of an inch in far southern, between 1 and 6 inches below normal. Snowfall so far this season has also been below normal across Illinois to the tune of 1 to 10 inches. For outlooks, the Climate Prediction Center outlooks for January show an extension of colder than normal conditions from the northern plains into much of the Midwest and southeast U.S. In January, outlooks show mostly equal chances of above and below normal precipitation for the first month of 2025. Meanwhile, three-month outlooks for January through March show equal chances of warmer and cooler than normal conditions, but paint a decidedly wetter than normal pattern across Illinois. For more information about monthly Illinois weather summaries, current conditions, and climate, visit the Illinois State Climatologist website. Next, we have insurance open enrollment deadline, January 15th. And this is a staff report. The last day of open enrollment for the Get Covered Illinois Health Insurance Marketplace is Wednesday, January 15th. We encourage all Illinois residents who do not have health insurance coverage to visit getcoveredillinois.gov before open enrollment ends at midnight on January 15th, said Get Covered Illinois Director Morgan Winters. There is still time to access free enrollment assistance and to sign up for a quality, affordable plan that has the protections provided by the Affordable Care Act, such as covering pre-existing conditions and offering free preventative and wellness services. Financial assistance is available for qualified consumers who buy their health coverage at getcoveredillinois.gov. A majority of consumers can find health plans on the marketplace for $10 or less a month, said IDOI Director Ann Gillespie. The advanced premium tax credits available through the American Rescue Plan Act have made health coverage more affordable for thousands of Illinois residents and family. ARPA passed in 2021 and expanded marketplace tax credits through 2025. Coverage for consumers who enroll by the deadline on January 15th will begin on February 1st. Illinoisans can still enroll in coverage through the Get Covered Illinois Marketplace after open enrollment ends if they have a qualifying life event, including losing job-based coverage, getting married, having a child, adopting a child, or moving. Get Covered Illinois, a division of the Illinois Department of Insurance, is the official health insurance marketplace or exchange for Illinois consumers to purchase quality, affordable health insurance facilitated by the federal government. Get Covered Illinois is transitioning to become a fully independent, state-based marketplace. Follow our progress here. For information on the Get Covered Illinois Marketplace, open enrollment period, visit getcoveredillinois.gov. And turning to the community brief section for Tuesday, we have the following items. The first is DACC Board to Meet. The Danville Area Community College Board of Trustees will meet Thursday, January 23rd at 5 p.m. in the boardroom of Vermilion Hall, room 302. The college is located at 2000 East Main Street in Danville. And the Fountain County Old Guard VFW 2395 Auxiliary will host a chicken noodle dinner for the public Friday, January 17th from 5 to 7:30 p.m. at the post located at 1212 Liberty Street in Covington. The meal will include chicken and noodles, mashed potatoes, corn, rolls, dessert, and drink for $12. The cost for veterans is $9. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. Again, my name is Craig, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.